Mississippi Spouses.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Florida primary is Tuesday, and the Republicans are revved for the debate tonight in Jacksonville. Rick Santorum's been campaigning today in Tallahassee.
We need strong families, and we need people who are well-founded and morally straight.
Mitt Romney no tiene vergüenza.
The advertising is flying, heating up the airwaves, and CBS News has been talking to some early voters in the Republican primary.
I'm Peter King. The negative ads have been relentless. The candidates' attacks on each other, the same.
Does not help.
Patricia and Ronald Stryber had just finished voting when we caught up with them.
I don't like it. I'm tired of listening.
They say they'd rather hear more on the issue, something they're afraid is getting lost in all the attacks.
Really more interested in is, hey, what are your solutions?
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
President Obama is promoting the idea of a natural gas corridor sprinkling natural gas pumps along the highway to make sure vehicles that run on that fuel can top off.
So now one of these trucks can go from Long Beach all the way to Salt Lake City. And they're going to be able to refuel along the way.
He's in Las Vegas, where he announced a long-awaited sale of deepwater oil and gas drilling leases on 38 million acres in the central Gulf of Mexico. The latest sidebar teapot tempest upon his arrival yesterday in Phoenix. Did President Obama upbraid Arizona's governor because he didn't like the way she spoke of him in her book? Was Governor Jan Brewer being rude with that finger in his face, or was it a stop-action photo moment in a conversation she often punctuates with moving hands? As the Pentagon grapples with a shrinking budget, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says while the U.S. may not be able to fight two wars at once, it will be leaner and better at what it does.
We will have an adaptable and battle-tested army that is our nation's force for decisive action, capable of defeating any adversary on land.
He says the same will go in the air and on the sea. Capacity crowd, more than 12,000, filled the basketball arena at Penn State's campus, a public memorial to Joe Paterno. CBS's Barry Bagnato's there.
Sue, could you stand up, please, for me?
Sue Paterno received a long, warm ovation for her husband, who is being remembered as an influential force, a giving teacher, a man of humility and integrity, former All-American player Kenny Jackson.
He built in our young character, confidence, and courage.
Penn State's alma mater echoed through this arena as thousands stood silently to honor their legendary coach. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, State College, Pennsylvania.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 36 points. The Nasdaq's off 17. Oil at just at $99.84 a barrel. There's a football-picking camel in New Jersey. Princess at the Popcorn Park Zoo picks graham crackers from the zoo manager's hand. New York Giants written on one hand, New England Patriots on the other. Princess picked the Giants. Camel has picked five winners in the last six Super Bowls. This is CBS News.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, bringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
I can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
Only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website. No, we have a massive find the part you need, get it delivered, save cash site. AdvanceAutoParts.com. I tell you to type that into your browser, but when you're on AdvanceAutoParts.com, you ain't browsing. You're getting stuff done. Now save $20 off orders of $100 or more. Service is our best part. AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
Are you a house husband? Don't you wish you could be?
More than 60,000 British men are classed as house husbands. That's three times as many as 15 years ago. And with higher pay and greater opportunities for women, the number of stay-at-home dads is expected to increase further. And it could be even higher. The figures don't include men who work from home but have the primary child care responsibilities. Another survey shows 43% of men are happy to stay home, but a third of women feel guilty leaving the kids.
CBS's Larry Miller in London. Art is sometimes intended to be odd. A Swiss artist named Christoph Duquel wants to bury intact a Boeing 727 in the Mojave Desert and build a tourist tunnel through which ticket-buying visitors would walk. The plane would be 38 feet below the surface. The view through the windows would be awful, but the toilets would work. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it free today.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. It's lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Home Depot.
Today, something very special. The SEAL Team 6 of local reporters, Karen Healy from Cal Coast News, in here with a whopper.
And whopper. Now, here's Bill Vinica.
Holy dump truck. I got to tell you what. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We've got to play a spot or two. Let me give you phone numbers right now, because you might want to call in about this, because this one's a... 786-2578. 786-2578 is our local number, but everybody's pretty much local. But if you want us to pay for it, you know, make sure 866-937-1340. That's 866-937-1340. Karen coming up in just a few minutes.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network. This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Some people are afraid to get an MRI because they think their only option is being put into a narrow tunnel. This is no longer true. San Luis Diagnostics Center just installed a new 3 Tesla ultra high field MRI system with an opening that is 40% larger and much shorter than other systems. Now even the most claustrophobic person can have an MRI without concern. It produces crisper, clearer images that can diagnose disease far earlier, and scans take half as long. As a diagnostic facility dedicated to outpatient care, San Luis Diagnostics Center strives to make sure your appointments are on time and at your convenience. When your doctor tells you you need an MRI, take control of your health care and call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700 before someone else chooses for you. All major insurances are accepted.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Okay, we actually had an introduction today. We had the intro going in and everything. And here's what I said. I'm going to say it again because it was so good. SEAL Team 6, SEAL Team 6 of local reporters, Karen Bealey's in here from Cockroach News with one whopper of a story because I didn't have some switch there. So, but now I'm switched. I'm in. I'm ready to go. Before we get Karen on the air, our phone numbers are 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. Let's do it again. 786-2578 and 866-937-1340. If you haven't been to Calco's News yet this morning, you missed a doozy so far, but this is going to be unfolding for a long, long time, I have a feeling. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Welcome, madam. I'm going to let you rock and roll. Can I read the first paragraph you wrote, though?
Yeah.
Come on, let me read the first paragraph. All right. Police chief accused of sexually assaulting their officers. Law enforcement officers have names for girls offering them sex on the beat. Badge bunny, holster sniffer, uniform jumper, handcuff hugger. And Pastor Robles' brethren in blue have one more. The chief. Go.
There have been allegations for more than 2 years coming to Cal Coast News that the chief of police was touching her men. Officers would call me and they'd say, you know, I had one guy start crying on the phone and said, somebody's got to do something. But then they didn't want to give me names. They didn't want to, if they met me, they wouldn't tell me who they were. They didn't want to give me a phone number back, and I did not have enough to go with anything. And back then, my editor was George Ramos, and we sat down numerous times and said, you know, we've got to do something with this story because we have too many people calling us. But how do we get it out? And then he passed away, and it kind of went over to the wayside for a little while. Since then, and the allegations are that she touches her men inappropriately on the job. Since then, Officer McCall filed a grievance against the city claiming that she touched his penis during while he was in his car. And that has kind of gotten the other officers calling and talking and several people coming back on and now saying, okay, you know, I'll give you my phone number, I'll talk to you. I may not want my name in the story as one of your sources, but I'm going to come out and we'll really try to get the story out so this can change. And the original story goes back to a team-building workshop in Carmel at the Carmel Valley Lodge that everyone, sergeant and above, was required to go to. This was a work event. So it's planned for Super Bowl weekend. And they get up there for the weekend, and on Sunday they're all watching the game, and some are drinking. And at the end of the game, the officers, I've talked to four officers that said they witnessed it, Solomon said, let's get some work done. I want everybody to suit up and get out in the hot tub. So the guys do as they're told, and they get their suits on, and they go out to the hot tub. And they're sitting there, and she makes a comment, according to the officers, do you want to see boobs? And they said she pulled her shirt off and then pushed one of the guy's face into her breasts. Then she said she scooted over next to Sergeant, like, how do I say this? Okay. Sounds like porn.
Well, let's say she grabbed the officer's non-department issued pistola.
And she slid her hand in his pants and touched him. And I was told it was a cold and rainy night. You know, it wasn't a real comfortable day anyway. He jumps out of the hot tub and jumps into an unheated pool. That's a man trying to run.
Yeah, that's a man trying. So this is so here for 2 years. This story about Lisa Solomon, the police chief of El Paso, has been out there. Now, do you know why all of a sudden people said, "I'm going to give you my name so you can do this story"?
I think it has more to do with there's been some other. I've been told there's been more nudity. There's been more incidents, and things are getting worse. More threats. And it's really, they said, denigrated out of control. There's other issues in the department that are not in the story.
Okay, so let's understand something. Yeah, there's other issues that are in the story, but those will come up. So you have how many officers and how many police department personnel at this point that have come forward?
We've talked to five officers and three personnel, former and current.
And how many have given you their names?
All of them.
All of them, okay. So, see, again, this is what had to happen. You know, if you can say, and you have to respect, I think, Karen and Cal Coast News for this, and George Ramos, and George Ramos, you know, people can say, this is a huge thing, it's terrible, you know, and you say, okay, but you got to tell us, you have to tell us who you are, otherwise it's not going to, we can't just put it in there because you say so. And so it just took this long, I guess. Well, it's just been so kind of flipping out of control, I guess, that people finally said, okay, enough's enough.
And one of the officers said to me, you know, some of the officers that were talking to me back then have since lost their jobs. And, you know, one officer said to me, you know, if you'd done something back then, but I didn't have enough information. And it wasn't, and I couldn't get enough people to talk at the time. But, you know, hindsight, I do wish, because, you know, people have lost, you know, they've lost their jobs. They, you know, can't take care of their families. They're looking at losing their homes. This has been very hard on the officers involved.
So let me ask you this. Okay, from what they've told you, these officers, did what prevent them if they're, you know, put off the police department and, you know, suffer the other, you know, the result of that? Did what prevent them from coming forward once you've already been retaliated against? Let's say you lose your job, you can't be retaliated against again. So when something like that happens, is it more the thin blue line that sort of says, okay, you don't say anything?
When they were calling me 2 years ago, they were all still working. There weren't the threats of getting fired at that time.
All right.
So they just wanted it out because they felt it was very unbecoming. The department was failing. I've had dispatchers tell me of parties where, you know, high-ranking officers are in hot tubs together making out with each other's wives. They said it's gotten to a point of being a very uncomfortable situation. And a lot of stuff, again, is done in public. For example, there was another officer, David Fernandez. And Dave said that he was called to, back when the crooked kilt was the crooked kilt Paso Robles, he was called to do a bar check. And you do different bar checks to make sure everything's going okay in the bars at night. So him and his partner for the night walked into the bar, full uniform, and Lisa Solomon's out on the dance floor. She sees him, she runs over to him, and she's got a low-cut shirt on. She pushes his head between her breasts and starts moving him around. And he said, it's a bar full of people. He said the place was wall-to-wall people. He said it was totally embarrassing. His partner then grabs him by the arm and says, we've got to get out of here. You know, so they get out the door. But that's not something that the police officer should have to deal with the chief of police. And, you know, there's been several allegations of her pressing her breasts into their faces or grabbing their penises.
All right, let me just read a little of this because I think it's important to read so you have some idea. Okay, so Hernandez has a lot to say about lots of stuff. In 2010, Solomon was allegedly looking to get rid of Officer Jeff Grombie after the district attorney's office rebuffed attempts to have the officer charged with theft for helping his girlfriend remove items from an elderly relative's home. She was successful in having him charged with unauthorized access to driving records. 2 years ago, dispatcher Delina Rankin began making mistakes at work. Though unknown at the time, she was suffering from a brain tumor. Solomon went to the dispatcher and asked her to resign or face criminal charges for pulling the driving record of former boyfriend Rankin, he said. And while officers contend that Solomon would usually follow through on her promise to not file charges, the employee agreed to resign. In this case, Solomon asked the district attorney to file charges on the dispatcher after she resigned. The court sentenced Rankin to 1 year of probation. This is just huge things that are coming out. Here's one other thing. Officer John Tatro, is that me saying that right?
Yes.
Officer John Tatro, the current Police Officer Association president, recently filed a lawsuit against the department regarding the chief's implementation of illegal ticket quotas. Ticket quotas are illegal under state law because they can pressure police to write bogus tickets to meet their goals, something Tatro refused to do. Union officials are currently concerned to vote on no confidence against the controversial chief.
And for those that Los Angeles, they had the same thing. They had put together a quota. And with that quota, 10 officers sued and were given $2 million. And they were given $2 million because when they sued to stop the quotas, they said they were retaliated against, and they received $2 million from the city. Now, officers told me that they're pulling, you know, they're being prompted to pull over people going 5 miles over the speed limit, to pull over people for things like tinted windows, things that, very mildly, things that you usually don't. They're considered a little bit bogus. But over there, she was very into her percentage, and she's, you know, you've got to get this done. We're going to have a couple more stories really going in depth to some of the issues that the officers say are, they're concerned with public safety due to implementation of rules that they say harm the public. And I've talked to numerous officers that believe that this, that the way this department is being run is not good for the safety of its citizens.
All right, let me. Let me see this. This is huge. What's this thing here? So some of the things that are interesting sometimes is are the remarks that people make about your articles. And I just want to address a few of those because it's kind of interesting. Now, I don't mind saying to you that Karen will be on KBC tonight at 5:45. And so, you know, people that can't be listening now can certainly listen then. This person says, what's wrong with the city manager? I'm astounded and aware that she is still working. Is there an involvement going on there, too? Seems like everyone knows about this. Seems that she is practically a running joke. I bet she has a fabulous nickname. Anyone? We already gave some of those. And she's married, somebody else says. I wonder what her husband must be thinking.
Do you want the nickname?
Yeah, what is it? Go ahead. Go
it's
ahead.
Terrible. Swallowman.
Swallowman. So here's the thing here. And so then she says, and she's married, I wonder what her husband must be thinking. And that would lead, can I just comment as a man?
Yeah.
All right. If there's this much of this going on, and I speculate here, I'm not saying this is happening or anything, but if you're a husband and there's this much of this going on, you cannot possibly not know that this much of this is going on. So then if the person is still your wife, one has to ask themselves the question, does he know that it's going on and isn't concerned about it? Can I say that? I'm allowed to say that. Yes, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and employees at the department said at some company parties that she has gotten touchy-feely with him when he's in the room with somebody, another room with somebody else. So they contend that there is an awareness between both. They go to the same parties.
I intuit well, do I not? Thank you very much. Then another person said, sorry, I'm not buying it. In light of the very public problem with past rebels, government administrators, character assassination, the first family police chief should come as no surprise. The males are pounding their boobs. What?
This is something that some people said to me. They said, do you think this is officers angry that she is a female chief? And I, when I wrote a story about her 2 years ago, several people that I actually respect came to me and said, you know, this isn't good for women. You're going after a woman in power, and you're a woman. It's not going after a woman in power. I've had men cry to me. Literally break down and cry. I don't care if you're a woman or a man. If you say somebody touched you inappropriately, you should have some help. And that's what they said. Their captains have seen this happen. Lieutenants have all seen this happen. Everyone was in the hot tub that day. It wasn't one person. Many of these incidents were in public places. I was told the bar was full. That was probably 70 people. So many people have seen these incidents. And that's why it seems odd that the other people involved did not help them.
Well, here's what's I mean. This is a weird story with the crooked kilt, because it would seem that if the public saw the chief of police behaving oddly, I'll use the term oddly, that someone would say something to someone.
We've had phone calls with she's dancing along the bar. We did a story 2 years ago. I think we titled it, She Just Likes to Dance. And I had a bartender from one of the bars in Paso tell me she was drunk dancing up and down the top of the bar. She showed another person called me to say they saw her show up at an officer called me and said she just showed up at a hostage situation with a pair of pants that said Juicy across the butt. And some of them felt it was inappropriate behavior. And I know that's a brand name. And it's supposed to be a very expensive brand name. But they still said in a hostage situation, should she be showing up with that?
I would vote no. I've never been a police officer in a hostage situation, but I vote no. It's an amazing story. We got more to share. Let me give you phone numbers again, because you might... Well, before we take a break, let's call. We got some info now, and let's say hi to... Hello.
Oh, well, hi, this is Ann.
Hi, Ann.
I had a question for Karen. Is there any kind of... I know a lot of cops just hate internal affairs, you know, they just don't want to touch that. But if there is any kind of HR department, either in the city or within the sheriff or police department or something, where you could safely post, you know, notify somebody.
Well, that's what the officers say they have done. They said they have, during exit interviews, several officers said they told HR that there were big problems in the department, that something had to be done, and they said nothing ever happens.
And the city, no one, there is no way anybody on the city council was spoken to or contacted, or there's no mechanism to alert the city fathers?
I don't think they called the city council, but they seemed pretty sure that the city manager knew and that they were going to get no support. But, you know, the point at this time, I know of five that are working on lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be, and, you know, 2 years ago when I mentioned that to one of the men, I said, you know, if she's touching you inappropriately, why don't you file a lawsuit? And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. This is too humiliating.
Yeah.
And at the time he was working, he just said, I just don't want it to happen anymore. But at this point, many of these men, they say that they've been pushed out because of things that have happened with the chief. And now there is going to be quite a few lawsuits. And it's going to be interesting how successful they are if they can show that the city's management was aware there were problems and did not do anything. They don't, knowing that what's going on, they have an investigator right now investigating the McCall being touched in the car. And I talked to an officer that was interviewed by, Hernandez was interviewed, I think he said December 22nd. And when he was interviewed, he also said that it had been touched. So when you have several officers making claims, and now they're saying, why is she not on paid administrative leave? We just said she sexually assaulted us. They've known that for more than a month. And does this make the city more liable to lawsuits?
Well, it seems clear to me that the city, there's walking while stupid. In this day and age, you'd think they would have in place very, very clear mechanisms for both reporting and dealing with stuff like this to avoid very costly lawsuits.
Clear,
they're clueless.
Let me add about, here's three people in the city. City Manager Jim Apt declined to comment on the alleged investigation. He also demurred when asked why Solomon was not on administrative leave, a question several of her officers are asking. When City Attorney Iris Ping Yang was asked if she was aware of an investigation into Solomon's behavior, she said, I can't tell you, I have no comment to make. And Mayor Dwayne Pacano said he was surprised at the assertion. That's news to me, he said, and I mean that. So this is the worst kept secret in the whole wide world, and yet the people that are running the city don't seem to know about it.
Well, you know, we're all going to ground and lawyering up and running for the hills by now, but holy cow. I guess, you know, there's something in the water in this county that nobody learns anything from anything. You know, they didn't learn anything from the Board of Supervisors, you know, mess that we had with Dave Edge or Sabby. It's like nobody learns anything, so they keep inventing the wheel, and then the taxpayers get to pay for all of this. It's ludicrous.
And, you know, she was a man. If she was a man touching women's vaginas during work, there would, this would have been a hold. I don't think this would have taken 2-3 years of this going on before something stopped it. I think it would have been a much quicker process.
Today, if it was a man, it would take all of, you know, 4 hours.
Yeah, right, and everything would have been shut down. There's that sort of macho thing with the police, and nobody wants to blow the whistle. But the end result is the taxpayers get stuck with this hellacious bill, and people's careers are ruined, and it's just...
And their lives are their lives. I mean, I've talked to a guy that's going to lose his vehicle. I mean, they haven't picked up. They have lost their income because they have fought back with the chief.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, this retaliatory thing is another big, huge issue. You know, the one issue by itself of sexual harassment is one thing. And it is. I mean, it's hard. Men, when you hear it, you think of men sexually harassing women in the workplace, but it can obviously be the opposite. And as a matter of fact, it's the opposite in much, much greater degree, you know, than I've ever heard for years of a man treating his employees. So, it does work in reverse. And the fact that she can then react in a retaliatory way when people complain makes it just that much worse, it seems.
Yeah, this is just pathetic. I'm sorry. I mean, this is, boy, people in the test here are going to be really PO'd.
Passarolos.
Passarolos when they get this bill. Anyway.
And I know, and I, again, I've talked to several officers, and I have been told of numerous lawsuits that are in the process of getting, you know, either they filed the grievance or they've met with attorneys, or, but there are going, I think this is going to be very tough on the city.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. The thing that's just so astonishing to me is that they're so far behind the curve on this. They're just sitting ducks waiting for something like this to happen. Oh, well. Anyway,
the thing
good,
that you say,
good reporting.
Here's the thing you say, though, Ann, let me just mention this before you go, is this idea of saying, you know, it's the same old, when you say, but nobody ever learns. Well, no, they don't. Otherwise, we'd have nobody in prison. You know, we'd have nobody in jail. We'd have, you know, no problems in the whole wide world. Everybody thinks, well, that person got caught because they did something really stupid. You know, and then you'd have somebody else do something more insane, and then probably wonder, I would imagine Lisa Solomon right now is wondering, well, I don't know how this came about. I don't know how I got nailed for this.
Well, I mean, there's you need to differentiate between the bad guy who is going to break the law and people who are in positions of responsibility that are there to make sure that they're guarding the city. They're the ones that are just walking while stupid.
Now, this is supposed to be this is supposed to be work from 8 to 5, not playtime.
Well, I know, but the people in charge of the city councilmen, the city attorneys, the mayor, the human resources people, everybody, nobody is accusing them at this point of actually going out and harassing anybody or being lawbreakers. Their job was to make sure if there was problems, they were there ahead of the curve to minimize the damage and stop whatever was being done. And that was, you know, there's the failure.
And
it isn't that this idiot woman's behaving badly. People behave badly.
Well, yeah.
But the city is just standing there with their finger in their nose going, well, who, yeah, who knew?
We'll talk about that more when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
And Ann, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Now, let me give you phone numbers again. 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. If you can call in, go ahead and please do. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hey, all you Java lovers out there in Radio Land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
All right, we're back. All right, so one of the questions I thought that I should ask, Karen, and I'm with Karen Beely, by the way, from CalQuestNews.com. This story was posted earlier today. It's on the website now. So if you want to read the details that are further than where you maybe are hidden, but I don't think so, then you can certainly go on ahead and look at it. And we'll take another phone call right now. And who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
What's up?
You know, as I'm reading this story, I'm just absolutely amazed at the culpability that the city of Atascadero is going to be having to defend here.
Like a passable.
I worked in several companies in a high-level position, and we had a sexual harassment lawsuit where we had basically done just about everything right. And yet we were still held with our feet to the fire for the smallest of mistakes. And in a case where you have a city who has been informed, and this has occurred time and time again with countless employees, and even now, at this point, the fact that she remains seated at her desk in a position where these employees are still working for the city. I just can't even imagine how expensive this is going to be. I mean, after I experienced working as a liaison between a sexual harassment lawsuit in the company I was with, I can tell you that they are going to come down so hard on these people.
Yeah, I mean, and look what resulted from a consensual relationship in San Luis Obispo, you know, between city administrators, you know, and people that were in authority, and how much that cost us, and, which was really startling.
And they weren't even touching each other.
Well, you know, one does have to question at this point why the city manager has obviously become an enabler, and he has become an enabler to the extent that he has not relieved Lisa Solomon, at least while the investigation is in process. And obviously, I mean, there's going to be a pending outcome, and with all these claims, I just am amazed that their HR people didn't know better than to take some action. In fact, I have to believe if they have a licensed, educated, confident HR individual, they probably had their hands tied. I really have to believe that, because nothing else would make any sense. I mean, it's absolutely obtuse.
So you know, what you're saying basically is the city manager, somehow the city manager is not just complacent in this, but, you know, there's something more than that, it would seem, because, I mean, Jim Apps done nothing. And so I agree with you. And those of us that are those of us that have just been employees that haven't been in charge of people for sexual harassment, all that stuff. I mean, we understand the definition of it. We know what it's about. There's nobody working in 2012 for any organization that's more than one person that doesn't understand what sexual harassment is and how it's defined. This is beyond the pale when it comes to sexual harassment. This is insane.
And remember,
and
she
is,
was. They
and
had
you're
it
absolutely hard. Right, Bill. Companies routinely have meetings to educate not just management, but all staff exactly what sexual harassment is. And any indication of sexual harassment is often ground for immediate termination.
Sure. And I have to tell you something. When I was a program director and all that, and my definition was much more severe than the actual, you know, definition of sexual harassment was. I told people, I told everybody, but it had to do with men back then. I said, you know what, if anything you say, a single sentence, word, phrase, look, changes someone's perception of their job from what it was before you said it, and it doesn't have to be terrible. It doesn't have to be like some big insane thing you say. It could be a little thing you say. But if it changes that person's perception of their job, then as far as I'm concerned, you're gone.
Well, and you know, while it's severe, I mean, it's not necessarily unreasonable line to take, considering how serious and extensive these, not only are these suits expensive to defend, but when you're on the losing end, and I don't see how the city has a leg to stand on here, not with all of these men coming forward, it's very expensive to settle.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, and here's an interesting aspect of this case, I think, Cindy, and that is that you have not only officers that are saying, okay, I've suffered under this circumstance, but you have department employees that are, aside from the uniformed officer, saying the same thing. And that's a mixed bag there for sure.
And some of the department personnel, and I didn't put everything in the story, there was just so much, but they've talked about other inappropriate things, so texts from high-ranking officers talking about their breasts and things like that. And they said it's just really, the whole department is problematic at the very top level.
Well, and there's, you know, it's called trickle-down effect. I mean, we do know that to an extent, and I guess, you know, it seems to be a hazard of the job, that it's not uncommon for law enforcement to abuse alcohol. And it sounds to me like Lisa might actually have a drinking problem. I mean, it's beyond me that she would conduct yourself like that unless you probably were, you know, pretty much three sheets to the wind.
This sounds like a very weird aside, but I'm going to ask Karen this. Now, why is that they were in Carmel? The Carmel Valley Inn is not exactly the least expensive place you can stay in Carmel, by the way. And so on Super Bowl Sunday, they were at the Carmel Valley Inn. Was this an departmental instructional thing?
It was just for the police department, but that was the place that everybody in Paso and Atascadero. Atascadero, they were going there for management meetings. And they go on the weekend, and it's not going on as much as it was. But when things were pretty good for the cities, they were taking a lot of trips to Carmel Valley.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I cannot imagine a million years why that should not be looked into by itself. Because there's an outfit that's out of Camp Roberts, but it's a private enterprise, and they are Camp San Luis, and they train firemen and policemen and others and emergency personnel in response, and they have a an ongoing thing at Embassy Suites here in San Luis Obispo because they're located in San Luis Obispo, and people come to them. You know, if you have your own department and you say, well, we don't want to meet at the Embassy Suites, you know, we don't want to go to the YMCA as long as we're going to take a hot tub, we don't want to meet there. Let's just go all the way up to Carmel Valley and go to the Carmel Valley Inn.
And they weren't training. It was team building. It was like learning to all work together.
There you go.
I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, Cindy. We appreciate your call,
madam.
All right. The team's built.
Holy dumpster.
And, you know, one of the things that's going on here also is the officers are saying that if you do something that she doesn't like, either rebuff her or object to one of her issues, for example, like having a ticket quota, she then will start writing you up for a variety of things. And, for example, one man was written up for speeding to a three-month-old that was not breathing. And she said he went too fast on the drive over. This was a common theme. Almost everyone I talked to said the same story. As soon as you're not doing the thing she wants and she wants you out, she tries that. Then very often she'll find something criminal. She'll say, okay, I pulled this video. This looks like assault. I'm going to get you for battery. I'm going to get you for this and this. Or you can resign today and leave.
See, here's what's really sad. You take a police officer, and there's so much that can be used against them. If somebody said, okay, I'm going to become an evil, crazy person and start saying, okay, you did this wrong. For instance, I don't know what the police code is, but I know there's a police code where you don't turn on your sirens, you don't turn on your lights, but the idea is you get there as fast as you can get there. And, you know, within reason. And so, you know, so that becomes a very it's not an objective matter anymore. You know, it becomes very subjective to somebody saying, well, I think you went 2 miles an hour of the speed limit to get here. I mean, you know, you can see where it can be really weird because police are, you know, put in those situations.
And one officer did tell me, he had a gentleman in the back of his car that was drunk and was bashing his head against stuff and jamming his feet against him and cursing at him. And he said, I did turn around and tell him, he said, I said a curse word and told him to be quiet. And they've got a mic on their collar. And he said, and I went too fast for probably 10 seconds and looked down and slowed down a bit. He goes, I wanted to get him out of my car before he hurt me and he was driving me crazy. Not hurt me, but hurt himself. And so, you know, I think that there has to be, that's what some of the officers said. We constantly have a mic on us. We constantly have cameras on us. And when you have a hostile situation, you have to take, it's a little different. Now, one of the other officers, though, I think it was Officer Lux, was fired for an event, and it was sent over to the DA to try to get him to go after him for battery, unlawful detainer, and something else. And the DA didn't go after it, but his watch commander at the time was Dave, and he said this was absolutely not an aggressive situation. And he said, in fact, if you watch the whole tape, at the end of it, the guy's apologizing, and he's telling him not to worry about it. He said it was very... He said he's not an officer that would lose it and get angry.
Now, let me say something else. I mean, you might as well compare apples and apples, and I think this is. You could say, well, that's Paso Robles and that's San Luis Obispo, but that would be a bogus thing. You know, if you have a Chief Deborah Linden that was well-respected by the men underneath her for as long as she was police chief, And you go, well, but, you know, man, macho copper guys, they don't want a woman to be the top of the ladder there. Well, apparently that's not so. Apparently with the right leadership, it works out just fine. And so to say that, you know, Lisa Solomon's different, you know, I'm not buying that. You know, you'd have to stretch that one out a long mile to say, okay, well, here's why this is different. No, I can't see that at all.
Whether you're a man or a woman, this type of behavior is questionable.
Let me mention that my guest is Karen Vealey from CalcosNews.com, and what we're talking about is Lisa Solomon, the police chief of Paso Robles, has been accused of sexual harassing her officers underneath her. She's includes five current and former police officers, as well as other non-sworn police department personnel. Right now, the city has retained the services of an outside investigator to look into the numerous complaints, officers say. The Calcos News did try to contact her. I got no response, not surprising. And as of today, we'll see where this goes. I would think the city attorney would step in, or the city manager somewhere within, let's see, it's 4-1 by one, and do something. I mean, because the city just every moment, as Cindy mentioned, as Ann mentioned, every moment, as you mentioned, every moment that this goes on, you know, with her just sort of still at her job, that's a bigger problem for the city in the long run.
And again, that's one of the biggest complaints the men had. If someone's accused of touching someone sexually like this, wouldn't they be put on paid administrative leave? Wouldn't they be taken out? And it is very surprising that she is still in her position, even though grievances have been filed.
And so it comes down to, and we're going to have to mention that, I mean, we have to say this, it comes down to Jim App as a city manager, really, who has an obligation to put this woman on paid leave or whatever they put him on and say, okay, we've got to look into this thing. This isn't a sort of like, well, we'll find out what we find out in the next 2 months. This is a very serious matter.
And they put people on paid administrative leave for much less. Now, Daniel Blackburn worked on the story with me, and he called the city council members, and he spoke to the mayor, Picanzo. And Dan told me, he said, I really don't think he had a clue about what's going on. And I have looked on the website at the city council meetings, probably going back 5-6 months, and the only lawsuits that I saw that were brought to the attention of the city council to discuss in closed session had to do with the water issue and the gentleman suing regarding the water issue.
Right.
But I saw no other lawsuits. It's like no closed session, no closed session, no closed session. So just, I don't think they're aware. Dan said he really thought he sounded surprised.
And it's possible. I mean, it really is possible. I mean, it's like Joe Paterno. In a way, you know, Joe Paterno's told something. He tells his underlings, his athletic director and his assistant, which is the top of your athletic department, and says, here, you need to go investigate what's happening here, and then find out. Now, so Joe Paterno's being accused of, well, he should have followed up more because the accusation was so hideous. Well, maybe. Okay, maybe. But the point is that they tried to protect Joe Paterno. They deliberately tried to protect Joe Paterno, the football program, and the school. And so, therefore, what Joe Paterno knew would be limited unless Joe Paterno actively said, I got to go find out more about it, which he didn't, because he thought it was being taken care of. I'll buy that explanation, but I'll buy the fact that he had no idea, because he was being hidden from him, that this Sandusky guy, he was just, you know, doing this repetitively. So, you know, I can see where a mayor may not know, but, wow, now that he does know, I'd whoop my city manager and my city attorney into shape quick. What time is it? 12-1.
Yeah,
by 1 o'clock.
I wonder if they're going to put this now in closed session so that the council can sit down and talk about, you know, there's a grievance, there's a pending lawsuit. You know, are they going to actually now come out and start bringing these issues to the forefront?
Now, let me ask you this. Is it possible for this to become, quote, a personnel matter, so it's not information is hidden from the public?
With police officers, you have much more privacy. and personnel matters can be much deeper. So this might have been why it didn't get to the city council. But I think when lawsuits are filed regarding bad management practices, I would have thought that that would have been told to the city council. And when there's grievances of sexual touching by a chief of police, I would have thought maybe the city manager would have brought that up.
What I'm asking is, from this, as we sit here and speak now, if this becomes then an investigative matter, you know, the city has to investigate them, whatever, can they say, I don't care if she's the chief of police or what she is, can they say, well, it's a personnel matter, and therefore you can't know anything that we're discussing?
Until someone's been found, if they've been found guilty of something, then they have to talk about it. But here's the thing on this. There's going to, you know, if all these people are filing lawsuits, the lawsuits are not going to be private.
No, they're not going to be that.
Except they're hard to find. I've been down. I went to the courthouse again 3 times. The lawsuit does not show. Somebody showed me a picture of the cover of it yesterday and some things. And I'm still frustrated with our court system here. If it's a public official, it's so hard to get a lawsuit. I've been in almost every other day for a week and have not been able to find the lawsuit against all of us in the city.
And you're so much better at it than I am. This morning I spent an hour, I kept saying, okay, let's ask the question this way, let's ask the question this way, let's ask the question this way. And you can't get a straight thing off the computer that I'm asking the wrong question, and I was going to find out. You know, they said, you had the story, I think it was the other day, that said that prisoners were spending $10,000 a day, or $10,000 a year per prisoner for medical care. So I thought to myself, okay, what do we spend annually per person on Medi-Cal? Boy, they don't like that question. They throw you back to Medicaid and all kinds of other stuff. You know, I found this out. We spend in California, we spend $2,400 per person in Medicaid. So somewhere between those two things must be the Medi-Cal. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting our crazy story here, but must be that thing. But I can't find out what it is. You know, New York pays twice as much for Medicaid, almost twice as much, close to $4,800 or something. They pay twice as much for their people on Medicaid in the state of New York. But we have Medi-Cal. We have a specific program for people in the state of California that don't have any money. And obviously, if you're in prison, you don't have any money. So if we're spending $10,000 on prisoners, we have enrolled in the wrong system.
Well, there was a change. There were probably 5 lawsuits about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And because of the lawsuits, the feds came in and took over and changed the quality of care for prisoners. And it's much higher than Medi-Cal families. They get a much higher quality of care.
Does that grab anybody as insane? I mean, is that insane? I'm not saying that you get worse care. Yes, I am. No, I'm not saying that you get worse care, but they should. I think that they should get equivalent care to what a citizen not in prison in the state of California gets.
And I'm working on a story regarding this. So it's a little bit deeper than that. There's allegations of some doctors doing unnecessary procedures on prisoners.
Well, and that's okay, because there's certainly allegations on a weekly basis at the most of people that treat Medicare patients, and they're doing all kinds of weird things with the paperwork for that. Here's what we're going to do, I think. If people want to call, I want you to do that now, because we're getting close to the top of the hour. And then tomorrow, we'll have you come back in at 12:05. We'll talk about all the other stuff that's going on in the news, because this was a huge thing. If you have something you want to share now, 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. You're certainly welcome to call and talk to Karen about it right now on the air. I will mention this again. I have no problem with it. See, being on at noon, it's a 2, you know, it has a lot of people running around eating lunch and doing that kind of stuff, and so it makes it harder for phone calling. So Dan Blackburn and Karen will be on KBC 920 with Dave Conover tonight at 5:45. So if you're not able to, you know, really do it, if you're not able to pick up your phone while you're in your car right now and break the law, which we all appreciate, you can call later after you get off of work. All right. Let me see if anybody else has added something. We got a lot of people adding something. Let me get that. Okay, let's see.
And if you want to read these comments, some of them are actually hysterical.
Oh, here's somebody quoting Slow Time. Says, this is what Paso Robles City Manager Jim App had to say about Lisa after a gun fiasco. Now, this is in quotes, so I can only take it with a grain of salt because it's appearing here. She knows I wasn't happy, but I have to measure those kind of things. And in this case, it was that she had 7,000 days and 21 years of solid service with the police department, App said. And those 7,000 days outweighed this one mistake. What will Jim App say this time? This story is true. Lisa has to go. She has ruined many careers using her public position for personal purposes. Let's see who else is in here. We got some on the phone now. Let's get on the horn and say hello to.
Hi, this is Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. You know, the cost for treating prisoners, I wonder if they factor in the fact that they have to pay overtime for police to escort them to hospitals and doctors and things like that.
But it means for the $10,000.
Well, you know, I used to work at Atascadero State, and we were constantly escorting patients into town for medical treatments and things like that, and quite often that had to be on overtime.
Okay, and that's an interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up. Larry, what the hell's going on at Atascadero State Hospital? Do you have any idea? I mean, I've been here a long time, and I've never heard of so many people being attacked.
They're only getting more press time about it now.
You really think so?
It used to be a regular occurrence, you know, fights every day just about, and it was just sort of like policy not to publicize it.
Well, I thought there were a lot of fights. I mean, I've known people that worked at ASH, and they said, you know, there's always these crazy people fighting each other. I heard about that, but now for some reason, and maybe you're right, maybe it's just getting the attention it deserves, is the fact that a lot of the personnel are getting harmed.
Oh, yeah. But, see, that's gone on forever, and like I say, they just never really publicized it. And I was hit many times, and you know, I've got long-lasting injuries because of it, but it was never ever in the paper or on TV.
So I have to ask you this question, Larry. So how do you feel about, with as much problems as the technicians have now trying to deal with these people and the way they're instructed to deal with them, this idea of putting this new, what's it called, high security, the craziest of the crazy unit in the Atascadero State Hospital, who's going to take care of them?
Well, the staffing will be much higher. Years ago, we used to have a high security unit within the hospital, and there was like a 7 staff members on duty at all times, whereas regularly there would be only 3.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I respect what you've done for the state of California, and I'm sorry you were hurt on the job. Not surprised from the other people I've known that work there, you were hurt on the job, and I thank you for sharing your thoughts today.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I'm sure glad I don't work here anymore.
Okay, bye. Larry, thank you. Wow. I got us off on a little bit of a jag, but it is interesting because, and maybe now it is getting the attention it needs to get. You know, because I knew people that told me they'd been assaulted and they hadn't heard a darn thing about it, you know.
My sources tell me the same thing. It's just more press.
Well, good.
This has been pretty common.
Good.
It's got to be a tough place to work.
Well, I'll tell you what, and like Larry said, well, I don't work there anymore, and then you're going to have this high security thing. And what are they laying off, 30 psychiatrists?
13.
So I don't know how much the 13 psychiatrists would affect anything in this whole thing, but I think you have to use National Guard, I think. It's the only way to keep it safe and good. Right there. All right. So once again, Karen Bealey will join us tomorrow at 12:05. We'll talk about all the other things that have been going on because there's been lots of stuff. She may have more to share with us about Chief Solomon and Paso Robles PD. And so, Karen, until tomorrow, I look forward to seeing you. Don't get one more time. 5:45 tonight, 9:20 KVC with Dave Congleton. If you can't call in now, you can certainly call in then. This has been an update from CalcoastNews.com. We'll be right back.
CBS News, I'm Barry Becknotto, live in State College, Pennsylvania. Part sadness, part celebration, the public memorial service here for Joe Paterno, a final goodbye. Former players are speaking of life lessons learned the Paterno way with a competitive edge, hard work, and integrity. Nike co-founder Phil Knight tackled head-on the sensitive subject of Paterno's firing in the wake of Penn State's child sex scandal. The coach was criticized for reporting an alleged abuse incident to superiors, but not following up.
Whatever the details of the investigation are, this much is clear to me. There is a villain in this tragedy. It lies in that investigation, not in Joe Paterno's responsibility.
Paterno died Sunday of lung cancer. He was 85 years old. I'm Gary Bagnotta, live in State College, Pennsylvania, with more CBS News. Here's Harley Carnes.
Republicans are campaigning hard. There is another debate tonight in Jacksonville, and Florida allows early voting for Tuesday's primary.
I'm Peter King. There are more than 2 million registered Republican voters in Florida. With early voting well underway, many, like Tara West, have made up their minds.
It was swaying between character and conservative values.
Elections officials say as of Tuesday, nearly 400,000 people voted early in person or by absentee ballot. About a quarter million absentees are still out there. Some 27% of Florida's primary voters voted early or by absentee in 2008. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
President Obama talked about jobs in the energy industry today.
We're going to keep moving on American energy. We're going to keep boosting American manufacturing. We're going to keep training our workers for these new jobs.
The president announced in Las Vegas oil and gas leases will be opened for drilling in the central Gulf of Mexico. The industry's been calling for that ever since the BP cleanup. A solar array production plant in North Las Vegas has cut its workforce by two-thirds. Flextronics Industrial laid off 200 of its 300 employees this week. The conference board says its index of leading economic indicators nudged up less than half a point last month. November and October indicators were revised downward. In the third quarter of last year, foreclosures made up 20% of all home sales. That's an improvement. Overall, new home sales in December fell again.
2011 was the worst sales year on record for the housing market. This really doesn't come as any great surprise. We knew this as the year was going on. Now we have the official figures to tell us that.
New unemployment applications went up last week by 21,000 to 377,000. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 22 points, and NASDAQ was off about 13. Oil at $99.79 a barrel. The Museum of London has a bronze coin on display that shows a man and a woman in a quite intimate embrace. Curators think the coin was likely a token for admission to a Roman brothel during the first century when the Roman Empire extended to Britain. A man with a metal detector recently found it in the mud near Putney Bridge in London. This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website. No, we have a massive find the part you need, get it delivered, save cash site. AdvanceAutoParts.com. I tell you to type that into your browser, but when you're on AdvanceAutoParts.com, you ain't browsed. You're getting stuff done. Now save $20 on orders of $100 or more. Service is our best part. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Will losing in the Republican race for the presidential nomination hurt Rick Perry's re-election chances in Texas? Or does he have enough time to recover?
Among Texas adults, President Obama's job approval sits at 43%. Governor Perry at just 40. New York Times bestselling author and political analyst James Moore says he rose to power.
Without any real competition or any difficult exposure and debate.
He says Governor Perry does not embarrass easily. But after his performance on the presidential campaign trail, statewide re-election in 2014 could be a challenge. Point echoed by Republican power brokers here in Texas. August Skamaka, CBS News, Houston.
Work has begun on a memorial for 29 coal miners who died in the 2010 explosion in the Upper Big Branch mine. It'll be a granite memorial in Whitesville, West Virginia. Money was raised privately for the edifice. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website. No, we have a massive find the part you need, get it delivered, save cash site. AdvanceAutoParts.com. I tell you to type that into your browser, but when you're on AdvanceAutoParts.com, you ain't browsing. You're getting stuff done. Now save $20 on orders of $100 or more. Service is our best part. AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
If you're in tech, you should be on Dice. Dice.com is all about connecting the best tech professionals with the job they want. Dice.com has over 80,000 of the hottest jobs in tech, from game developer to software engineer or Oracle DBA. You can find tech jobs from the companies you want to work for, like Adobe, Dell, and eBay. Download our mobile app at dice.com/mobile. Get started with Dice.com, the career hub for tech.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo. And now, easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
You know, Dad, I just keep thinking about how little rainfall we've gotten this season, and I know we're right on the edge of drought conditions.
You're right, Kelly. That's why at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we emphasize the importance of water conservation by featuring environmentally friendly products.
The store has an unbelievable selection of shower heads that offer everything from needle jet sprays to soft, soothing raindrops. And let me guess, the shower heads can reduce water usage.
You got it.
So that's why we're letting people know that the store is the low-flow toilet specialist in Flo County.
Yep, our low-flow toilets can save folks 25% on their water bill. But that's just part of the story, Kelly.
Are you going to tell them the other part of the story about when you got stuck under the kitchen sink trying to install a low-flow faucet?
Kelly.
Dad.
Kelly.
Dad.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures, shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's, San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul. Happy days, happy. Rebecca. I'm having kind of a startled day. I'm happy anyway. Because the weather is absolutely beautiful out there. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And you're listening to 1340 KYNS, your news station. And Bill Becker, talk with sheep, your friends and neighbors know. You know what else we're talking about here is Spencer's Fresh Markets, because that Harris Ranch boneless New York steaks were just $3.99 a pound. And ripe bananas, 2 pounds for $1. That's only 50 cents a pound. Try to top that. You can't. All right. I think it's gone. $4 for 2 liter Pepsi Colas. Holy cow. That's really cool. And what else you got here? You buy any 3 Activa 4-pack yogurt and 1 shopping visit, you get 1 Activa 4-pack for free. So get your yogurts, get some freebies. All right. So less pizzas, 99 cents. That's a pizza for one, of course. And there's a lot of people I've seen order extra large pizzas, and they're still for one. It's startling, but it's true. Other things are going on. Other things are happening. What do we got for the ball game here? Let's see what's got. Let's got for the weekend here. Here's Baker's Corner. You know, eating some really wild stuff. Here's a give and go 2-bite scones, brownies, or macaroons. By gosh, Loft House chewy cookies, Nature's Grain English Muffs, James Skinner cinnamon rolls, and Father's Table cheesecake. That is, but that sounds good to me. Don't forget, they have Sargento cheeses, your choice for $2.69 for our Sargento Borden shredded cheese. Pillsbury Crescent Rolls, 2 for $5. And that's all. Oh, and here's the weenies, way up here. Ballpark weenies, $2.99. And Springfield hamburger hot dog buns at $1.99. So you got to have the weenies and whatnot. Great produce all the time at Spencer's. Crisp Brian, lettuce, 99 cents each. 10 of broccoli crowns, 99 cents each. Really good prices on stuff. Ripe yellow peaches. The peaches are just ideal right now. $1.99 a pound, as are the pears. in the deli department. Don't forget, you got the trays, the meat trays, the cheese trays, the shrimpy things, all that kind of stuff. If you want to go to Spencer's for lunch, you can get a big, huge sub for just $6.99. This is a big, huge mama. Now, this is they take a French bread, and they make a sandwich out of it. Put on your stuff, $6.99. Unbelievable. Slow roast coffee's right there for you every single day, and it's I've decided that's, you know, gas is expensive, coffee went crazy through nobody's fault, but not certainly not through the coffee company's fault, that's for sure. It's that commodities trading. The people on Wall Street have manipulated the price of coffee to the point that it's like expensive, but if you're going to pay for coffee, like coffee that's really good, slow roll, enjoy your coffee low in acid and high in flavor. And all the other great local products that John Spencer has for us. John Spencer's markets in Sombrero Grande, Santa Maria, Tascadero, Morro Bay, and San Luis Obispo, where freshness is local. Sure. And we got other things going on today. I want to play this because it's one of these amazing stories. It's kind of a fascinating story. It's out of Canada, it's about 4 minutes long, but it's like.
They also learned the so-called auntie Rona was in fact Mohammed's other wife.
Wait a minute, we got ahead of ourselves. Let's try it.
In so many ways, the Shafia sisters were typical teens. Smart, beautiful, they enjoyed going out with friends and flirting with boys. But that's what might have gotten them killed. It was during a family vacation in June 2009 when the car carrying 19-year-old Zainab, 17-year-old Zahar, 13-year-old Giti, and the woman they knew as Auntie, Rona Amir Mohammed, mysteriously plunged into this open canal, drowning all four. The girls' parents, tearful in interviews, explained it was a horrific accident during a pit stop on their trip back from Niagara Falls. Parents said the girls took the car out for a spin while the rest of the family remained at the hotel in Kingston, Ontario.
But even as their bodies were being taken out of the water, as the vehicle was being dragged up from out of the locks, police say they were learning something very different about what went on here that night, and more importantly, what was going on in the Shafia household.
Suspicious police bugged the Shafia minivan. What they heard, they say, evidence of first-degree murder. Investigators claim hours of wiretapped conversations reveal how and why parents Touba, Mohammed Yahya, and Mohammed Shafia, along with their son, Ahmed, planned the murders. They also learn the so-called auntie, Rona, was in fact Mohammed's other wife, co-wife to Touba, in a secret polygamous marriage. Mother, father, and son were charged with murder in the summer of 2009. Now they're on trial. They've all pled not guilty. Prosecutors are relying heavily on the bugged conversations. And one, Mohammed Shafia, says in the Afghan language Dari, "I say to myself, you did well. Would they come back to life 100 times, you should do the same again." In another, "May the devil defecate on their graves. This is what a daughter should be. Would a daughter be such a whore?"
I think the wiretaps are extremely damaging to all three of them.
Columnist Christy Blanchford has sat through all the evidence, every wiretap, every witness. She's become an advocate for the victims.
We've been treated to the amusing side of defense lawyers saying, "Well, when you said, may the devil shit on their graves, what did you mean by that? Well, what other possible explanation but that is there for any of these things?"
But interrogations of the family never uncovered a motive. Why would a mother, father, and brother kill four members of their own family? The prosecution contends these were honor killings, carried out by parents from a very conservative Afghan background to punish rebellious, increasingly westernized daughters. Zainab ran off to marry a Pakistani man her parents hated. Zahar wore revealing clothes and had secret boyfriends. And little Giti was failing in school and calling social workers to get her out of a violent home. Auntie Rona was her advocate. Exactly how these girls died is also a mystery, but the prosecutors say they have clues. The shattered headlight on the family Lexus matches the damage on the rear bumper on the girls' car, suggesting it was rammed into the canal. Police also believe the victims may have been killed or beaten unconscious before the car hit the water. That would explain why they didn't escape, even though their seatbelts were unbuckled and the canal was only 7 feet deep. In one of the most chilling conversations recorded, Mohammed Shafia labels his daughters dirty whores. Steadfast, he says, "My conscience is clear." Prosecutors are now trying to prove that to the Shafias, honor was more important than life, even if it meant killing their three daughters. Phone it CNN, Kingston, Ontario.
Yeah, you gotta love that Afghanistan. You know. So apparently here's what we've learned besides the fact that this is like a big Agatha Christie thing right here. First off, did the police encounter have to have a search warrant before they do the thing? And then the other thing that we've learned is you can't pee on a dead Taliban, you can poop on the grave. So get the word out to the Marines if there's something else they can do, because they consider that part of the parcel and parcel of being Afghan. Unbelievable story. Unbelievable. I thought I'd share it with you. All right. Now, here's one of the questions I think we're all asking ourselves today. I think we should be anyway. Is there more than one SEAL team? Or just SEAL Team 6 covers every SEAL that they put out of Coronado? Is that, I don't have that faintest idea. I'm going to go find out. I'm going to go to the recruiting office. There used to be a Navy SEAL that worked there. Recruiting, I don't know if still there. So somebody, I don't know. I was in the Navy, and I don't know. So if they ask somebody else in the Navy if they know, I don't know. I think the SEAL Team 6 is a specially trained group to do certain kinds of stuff like they've done. And then other Navy SEAL units are trained to do other weird stuff that you haven't heard about yet. But yeah. Actually, we do know one thing. When shock and awe occurred in Baghdad, when Desert Storm happened, driving out of Kuwait, when shock and awe happened, the Navy SEALs, in case you're saying to yourself, I think I want to be a Navy SEAL, I'm going to be tough, they were in the sewers of Baghdad preparing to do certain things. That's it. I can't be any. I can't do that. I just can't do it. There are other things I can do, but I can't do that. So, that's it. That's the only thing to keep me from being a Navy SEAL. And having been stationed in Coronado for a short time before going to Vietnam and observing what they had to go through. And you'd say to yourself, why would anybody do that to themselves? Okay. He had to volunteer. Yeah, it wasn't like they said you have to do this. They had to volunteer. Anyway, it was quite amazing. And I respect them very much. All right, let's see what else is going on. Okay, it's like in a world gone mad, Officials proceed with dust rule work. Despite two pending lawsuits, state parks are setting up stations to monitor particles, particulates. Despite the local challenges, the full speed ahead implementation of a new requirement to reduce dust blowing on the Oceano Dunes State Vehicle Recreation Area. State Parks is working to set up some mobile monitoring stations in the dunes that will measure the dust levels during the windy springtime when dust emissions are highest. Meanwhile, the County Air Pollution Control District began a separate project to establish a series of temporary monitoring stations on the Pullman Mesa to allow the district to map that dust plume coming off the park, said Larry Allen, Air Pollution Control Officer. Many as 20 stations will be deployed in the Mesa as well as two in Oceano. We're pretty much saturating the Mesa with the monitors, Allen said, because we want to just fine them $1,000 a day. Okay. I'll confess something here. I'm going to confess. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm getting older, I guess. I have to get these things off your chest. Actually, it doesn't matter. It's nothing like that. But here, a school gets new guidelines for more nutritious lunches. I'm going to tell you something. When I was in high school, and my brother and I gave us money and said, okay, we need to buy your lunch, because we were too lazy and stupid to make it, and they weren't going to make it. So I said, okay, you buy our lunch every day. It wasn't very much back then either. It was like 35 cents or something. Then. So they gave us the money during the week, and they said, we're going to buy our lunch. And we said, okay, thanks a lot. And then I have no idea what the lunches were like, because we'd spend money on cigarettes. We had no, I don't think we were in the cafeteria. We're in the boys' room smoking weed. So I don't know. Well, Paso, You make your bed, you lie in it. That's kind of how they call it. Here's a situation. They had the let me tell you who it was. San Luis Obispo-based Smith Volvo. They want to set up at 2nd and Spring Street. They want to set up a used car lot at 2nd and Spring. Tasso at the time as this came up said, well, you know, that it's right at the entrance of the city. You know, we'd rather have, I don't know, what would be your choice? What if you owned the city and it was your city, you were in charge of saying, this is the thing I'd like people to see when they first come into town, you know? Probably what San Luis Obispo has on the south end, a Diamond Adult World billboard. I'm sure that would be my first choice. Anyway, they said, well, we're not sure we want that, you know, a used car lot. So they said, yeah, we're not going to approve that. Now, all of a sudden, they're going, you know, we probably should have approved that. Good luck. And the people that were petitioning to do it are not interested anymore. It's like, okay, fine, we don't care. All right, here was the thing. There's this thing I want to tell you about. There's this thing. Oh, my God. Here it is right here. Now, I will tell you honestly, I am no fan of Lindsay Lohan of any kind. I don't care if the woman breathes or stops. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But there's times when things happen, you go, say what? All right, here's one of those. Lindsay Lohan's had bad luck with cars, continues after a woman who claimed she was struck by the actress' sports car sued over her injuries Wednesday. That was yesterday. Nubia Del Carmen Perez claims that she was struck by Lohan's Maserati. I'd be honored to be struck by a Maserati. While walking to a West Hollywood intersection, Perez's lawsuit states that she has suffered disabling and serious personal injuries, pain, suffering, and anguish, and that she is seeking damages for all her medical expenses and lost time at work. Now, you might say, well, Bill, what's wrong with that? She claims that the accident occurred in September of 2010. January 2012, September 2010, she just filed the suit yesterday. It doesn't say she had amnesia the whole time. So I call out. Now, there may be, maybe the statute of limitations may be 5 years or whatever it is, I don't know. But one would, you know, if I was being picked for the jury and they said, you know, can you do this without prejudice? I'd probably say, no, I don't think I can. I'd be honest about it. There's something wrong with it. Okay. Comedian and 30 Rock cast member Tracy Morgan is back to work in New York after a brief hospitalization. The actor was hospitalized Sunday while attending the Sundance Film Festival. He suffered from exhaustion and altitude. Actually, that's what it is, not exhaustion attitude, which other people say he has. He also has diabetes. The hospital found no drugs or alcohol in Morgan's system, but you get up there, if you had diabetes, you get up there, it's 7,000 feet. That's high up. Okay. You go do it. You'll wheeze and carry on. All right. And one more review for Jones. Apparently enough water has been on the bridge for Barbara Walters and Star Jones to reunite for one day. The View announced Wednesday that Jones will appear on the daytime talk show on February 22nd to promote an awareness campaign about heart disease among women. Walters and Jones had a falling out in 2006 when Jones, one of five original co-hosts of the daytime show, exited The View. ABC decided not to renew her contract. Anyway, stuff going on. Alright, so that's enough of that. Alright, let's get to what's important right here, because this really is important right here. Well, this is the most important thing in today's paper. Let's do that first, don't you think? Alright. An 85-year-old Alaska woman used a grain shovel to fend off an agitated moose that was stomping her husband. George Murphy says his wife saved his life. Anchorage Daily News says the 82-year-old, she's 82 years old, says the 82-year-old pilot who flew through 3 decades for the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race was hiking, he's 82, she's 85. She was hiking, this moose attacked him, and so she whapped him with a shovel. God, you gotta love them old girls, I tell you. Let's get on the phone and say hi to somebody today. Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Rick.
Hi, Rick.
The reason I was calling is you were questioning that lawsuit over the injury.
Yeah.
Usually you don't file lawsuits until you know what your medical costs are going to be. But it takes a while before you you get to the point where you're actually going to file a lawsuit, and often their injuries are costs that go beyond what your insurance covers or you can afford.
Well, that's an interesting point. Okay, I respect that opinion because I know that when I was in a motorcycle accident, I was hit by an uninsured guy. The insurance company was trying like crazy to get me to sign something. You know?
Oh yeah.
And the doctor said, no, we don't know how bad you are. You just wait a while, you know, and then do it. But here's what I also learned: when it's your own insurance company and you have uninsured motorists, so here's your choice. You say, okay, well that's ridiculous, so I'm going to sue you in court, your own insurance company, and then, of course, they'll drop you, and then I don't know if you'll ever get insurance again, or if you can get enough money, you don't care. But the interesting thing was, and I'm telling you a true story, so I was run over on my motorcycle, run over, and so I waited a few months, but then I said, you know what, I have life to live, I got to get back to doing stuff, I don't want to screw around all the time. And so the doctor said to me before he signed off, he said, I want you to know something. When you're about 40, 50 years old, I'd hate to have your body. And I said, well, I'm going to have it. What do I do? He goes, you suffer. I thought, and so then it was the auto club. I'll go ahead and say who it was. The auto club, I was insured with the auto club. They paid for the motorcycle, which was total. They paid for my hospital bills. They paid me $5 for pain and suffering. $5. Just, you know, people cash in.
You couldn't talk to them anymore, huh?
I don't know. I just, you know, it's like, you know, I was dumb. I just got back from Vietnam. I was like, you know, I'm just so happy to be alive. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got a good point. I mean, I'm sure that people do say wait a while and see where you're going to go with this medical thing.
When did your accident happen?
In 69.
Oh, yeah, way back then. Yeah, well, you know, insurance companies count on people not knowing their rights and also knowing what. Not knowing what insurance companies are supposed to do.
Not only that, I mean, here's how ignorant. I never considered myself an ignorant fool, but I was. I mean, I didn't really know what to do with the insurance company because it was my own insurance company. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. And so that's the way that worked. But I understand something. But this isn't totally my fault, I don't think. All Vietnam vets had the same problem. We were never told. We were specifically never told, deliberately never told, that we could go to the VA to seek medical attention for things that happened to us in the service or had happened to us in Vietnam. Nobody said a word about it. So it took me 30 years to go to the VA and say, what about this? They go, why didn't you show up sooner? Well, I didn't know I could.
I got to run around, too, from the VA for...
No, it's just really weird. I mean, it's just very strange that they don't. And now they're being much different about it with the Afghan guys, Afghan vets, and the vets from Iraq. They're reaching out now to try to get these guys in and stuff, which I'm really glad to see. But it was very strange. I mean, I had no idea. And the only reason I found out I could do that was I was in a jewelry store in Royal Brandy, and the guy looked like he was undergoing chemo. And I said, you've got cancer? He goes, yeah. I said, that must be really rough for you. He goes, yeah, the VA's taking care of it. I have to go down to L.A. and live for a while and, you know, get the rest of my treatment. I go, well, can you afford to do that? He goes, well, yeah, the store makes enough money that I can pay somebody and go down there. So that was the first startling thing. You know, you have to move to L.A. to have chemo. And then I said, so were you a career person? That's what I thought you had to be. I said, were you a career person in the military? They go, no, I was in the reserves. I was on active duty for 6 months. I go, and how did they determine that this was, how did they determine that they're supposed to take care of you? And he said, I had been in Vietnam on a supply ship, you know, and we'd landed in Vietnam, and then out, so they assumed this was from Agent Orange. He had testicular cancer. Oh, no, prostate cancer. So he said, they assumed this was from Agent Orange did this. And I said, but you were only in the military for 6 months, and you could go and have them help you? He goes, well, yeah, you can go if you want. Are you in the service? I go, yeah. He says, you can go. Why aren't you going? So right after that, Milt Batson from the Employment Development Department sat down. It was weird. It was like this weird circumstance. I'd never talked to Milt Batson about the whole thing. And he said, Benica, weren't you in Vietnam? Weren't you wounded? Weren't you all this stuff? I go, yeah. He goes, you have any problems? I go, yeah. but, you know, I just ran a Barrett. And he goes, well, why don't you go to the VA? And I go, I don't know. Is that going to work for me? He goes, well, for the love of God, you should at least try, because you could help other guys by making sure people know to go to the VA. So I said, okay, I'll go give it the go, you know. So it was absolutely, you know, it's a system that is hideous in its own way, of course. But I've been going to VA ever since, and they'll take care of, because I was wounded in Vietnam a couple of times. They'll take care of me medically from now till doomsday.
Hmm. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you were able to do that. I got some help from them, but I also got a real runaround. And they can make you go through years of legal stuff.
No question. And I feel so bad about it. There's a guy I know right now who got diabetes, type 2 diabetes, which is now contributable to the Agent Orange. And I thought they had a special department for Agent Orange. They have an Agent Orange registry. They have special stuff they do to get you registered for Agent Orange. So I thought if you had a claim that had any things that are result from Agent Orange, that they would take care of you right away. He's had type 2 diabetes for 23 months. He filed 23 months ago and hasn't heard yet. And it's like, that's weird to me. That's just weird to me. And a thing that slowed me down when I got, you know, first filed, I had bad shrapnel wounds in my legs. And so, and I had gotten Purple Heart for it. But anyway, so you would think, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, you would understand that. And they said, this is what they honestly said, shrapnel wounds in the legs, not a result of military service.
Oh, my God.
That was their first response to me.
Yeah.
The very first letter they said, you know, we had nothing to do with it. I go, where else would I get shrapnel wounds for that, sir? It was weird. It was weird. And now people tease me and they go, you know what's wrong with you know, the Obamacare? It would be like what you go through all the time. And I go, probably, you know, but at least when I'm taken care of, I'm taken care of. You know, I can't complain. The people at the VA in San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria are very polite, do a great job, don't keep you waiting. You got to go down to L.A., it's a little bit different, quite a bit different.
Well, I think the whole thing with Obamacare is that the insurance companies would still be Brendan's thing, so I don't think it would really change materially, except there would be a lot of protections that don't exist right now.
Yeah, and that's the big problem. Well, this is what happens. See, this the backfire we have in our health system now, I think, in having this managed health care that we have now, HMOs and stuff, was back when Hillary Clinton was saying, okay, let's see, and Bill Clinton, let's see if we can do something that's going to be more positive health-wise. And so the insurance companies came up with this idea to scramble together and cobble together this HMO plan, which sounded at the time better than what people were experiencing. But it turned out to be not better at all. It turned out in the end to be worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's and their intent was very good. I mean, I'm not blaming them. Their intent was very good, but the insurance companies outfunk them. And,
oh, yeah.
said, okay, here's what you're going to end up with. But, you know, we didn't even know what we're going to end up with until we found out 10 years later.
Yeah, well, I think what people really need to understand regarding insurance companies, in particular accidents, is that they do start putting pressure on you right away to settle, and before you even know what your damages are. And, I had a situation where a drunk college kid hit my car, but it was parked out in front of my house, just as I was getting ready to leave on a really important working business vacation. The car was all packed with stuff. I just put $4,000 into making sure it was in perfect running order and roadworthy. It's a 94 Land Rover, so it was a kind of a classic car, and it was in wonderful condition. And they insisted that the car was totaled because a couple of doors and the rear quarter panel was dinged. And the Land Rover is made so you can replace body parts really quickly because they get bashed when you go off. So they refused to fix it, and they forced me to go through 6 months of BS and spent all the money I had saved and wasn't able to go on my trip, lost all kinds of business opportunities, and I'm still halfway with them. And you know, it's just incredible what they'll put you through. And, they just have a lock at things. I'm trying to put something together probably with the California Department of Insurance, but you know, we're in a situation where, especially in property damage, you can't get legal representation. The lawyers won't touch it.
I'll tell you what, and it's amazing. And when things go bad, and, you know, a lot of people have very good experiences with insurance. You know, I've had situations since I've been with Farmers that worked out fine for me. And so I like Farmers. If I end up getting screwed by Farmers, I won't like them. But you're right. When my father passed away in 1978, my stepmother was expecting a check from Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance, who I had life insurance with only because when I got out of the Navy, my father said, you know, you got to convert your $10,000 life insurance policy and know who you're going to convert it to with. I don't have the faintest idea. So he goes, well, I'm with Northwestern Mutual Life. I said, okay, fine, I'll go with Northwestern Mutual Life. Who cares? So, you know, I was too young to give a damn. And so everything's fine. You know, they send you a check in, and then they just give you a calendar once a year, and everybody's happy. And you think everything's fine. But my father passed away. It was about 4 months, maybe longer than that, when my stepmother said, do you have any idea what I can do to help get my money? You know, I'm my bills are behind, I'm having real problems, you know, and I have never gotten a check from the insurance company. I said, well, you filed a death certificate and all that with them. Didn't you file a claim? She goes, I filed 3 claims with them with a death certificate. I said, you're kidding. So I can't tell you what it was to go through, but eventually, and she lived in Pennsylvania, I ended up talking to the office of the insurance commissioner for the state of Pennsylvania and said, you have to be kidding. You have to be kidding. The only reason you have life insurance is for the one time you need it, that's when you die, and that's when they're supposed to come through. They've made money off of this money for years, and now they're supposed to come through, and they're screwing around. You know, so luckily, whoever I talked to somebody else, and so within 2 weeks, you got a check. So it was just absurd.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I've gone through some unbelievable stuff, you know, because insurance companies know that you can't handle the stress after an accident. And
sure.
They just lean on you until you crumble. And, you know, unfortunately for them, I was kind of a tough business person, and you're just not used to being screwed over, you know.
Right.
And so, I would keep on it, but, ultimately it was a losing battle. It actually got to the point where my insurance company sued me with a really tough bulldog of a lawyer down in Santa Barbara to make me stop trying to get them to pay me. They actually sued me. And, you know, and there was no way I could afford to go through that thing. And the lawyer was absolutely uncooperative. And, this is ridiculous. So finally, I just signed a release. But,
you know what's interesting? Another thing that's about insurance companies that I find fascinating is if, let's say, you're in a fender bender, nothing terrible, it's not going to cost a fortune or anything, but it's going to cost a couple $1,000 to fix your car. If the other insurance company, the person that hit you is insured by so-and-so insurance company, and they say, well, we're not paying you, which they can do, you think, well, they can't do that. Yes, they can. They can say, we're not paying you. You have to take the party that was involved with you to small claims court.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to get them to pressure their insurance company to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to have to pay out of their pocket. So I went with a friend once to small claims court when he filed a suit for that because the insurance company wouldn't pay. And it was the father and the daughter that were involved in the accident said, it's our fault. We did this. There's no question about the fact that we did this. They weren't trying to say we didn't do it. They did it. And I was like, I can't believe this. You gotta sue somebody else's insurance company.
And what happened?
Well, the judge took 8 seconds to go, pay this man his money, or get your insurance company to do so. And that's it. I mean, there wasn't even a thought about it, you know.
Did the insurance company pay, or did they?
Eventually, the insurance company, eventually they paid. They actually paid, and because he said you have to pay this man within 30 days or whatever it was, or make arrangements with the court to make payments. And so the guy said, well, no, I'll just pay. It was a fender bender. He said, I'll just pay. And then he said, but I would, the judge said, if I were you, I would try to still get this insurance company to pay because, that's what you're getting insured for. We heard later that they eventually did pay him.
Oh. Well, in the situation I'm in now, the other guy's insurance company told me that if I sued him in small claims court, they would still find a way to defend him. So even though he's not allowed to have a lawyer, they said they would still find a way to defend him. Whatever that means, I have no idea.
I have no idea what that would mean either, but it sounds odious enough to make you go, say what?
Yeah.
You know?
And then if you win, they can actually file an appeal. I found out. It's a hideous situation, you know. We need to improve it. That's the only reason I'm trying to get the California Department of Insurance to do something, because that's the only way I can think of correcting the situation.
Here's the thing. Even though I've been victims also of these crazy things, and you have too, so what I do every now and then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, I turn on Judge Judy, and I look at these people that are suing each other for stuff. I go, you know what? My life's okay. Where do they find these people? I have no idea. But my life is fine. Thank you very much, God. I'm going on with it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, nobody needs the grief, that's for sure.
That's for sure, Larry. Thank you very much for calling and sharing.
Okay, thanks.
Do it again. Bye-bye. Take a break. Let's take a break because we got slow roasted coffee.
Hey, all you Java lovers out there
in
Radio Land. It's a new year.
Radio
and that
Land
means resolutions are made and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken. And that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee. Your neighbors and friends.
I'm getting married in the morning. King John the
I'm Art Emmer. Welcome to our guest show, Great American Songbook Reprise.
I'm co-host Shireen. You've been listening to Art and Steve Lipia performing Get Me to the Church on Time from their upcoming CD, Frank and Frankie, a celebration of the Sinatra romantic eras.
Frank graciously gifted me a singing lesson, and this week our good friends John DeAndrea and Carmine Rubino, Paso Robles DeAmbino Winery, complete our tribute to Mr. Sinatra. They are formerly Hollywood's legendary composer, producer, engineers who have created the soundtrack of our lifetime. We also feature a compelling interview with Cheryl Tolan, founder of Welcome Home Troops.
We greatly appreciate our generous, sustaining sponsors, Danvino Vineyards and Cellars, Roxanne's Birkenstock at ShoeSurfing.com, Upper Crust Trattoria, and we welcome our newest sponsor, Doug Coleman of Coleman Forensic Services.
Ding-a-ding-dong.
The Gas Show, Saturday at 1 p.m., Sunday at 5 p.m.
Art Emery right there. Hey, this is kind of an interesting story here, I thought, especially in light of the fact that we're talking about overtime and the people getting paid overtime, you know, and then when things happen. Well, here's the deal. They got a gentleman that worked for Tascadero State Hospital, and so this is Rick. So this is kind of wild. Where are we? Abundant firefighter overtime is hurting management. Fewer interested in superior and supervisor positions because they make as much on the line. So I wonder why I wouldn't be in charge of something for when I can make more money and just, you know, schlep around and do my normal firefighting job. That's surprising. I mean, not surprising. In the service, I'll share this real fast. In the service, your pay ranks start at E, if you're enlisted in E1, 2, 3, 4, and they go up and these are the ranks that you are. And the interesting thing is, a lot of guys that wanted to stay in the service stayed E5 for years and years and years and years and years because the E4s and below had to do all the work. The E6s and above had all the responsibility, and E5 was the best position in the whole wide world to do absolutely nothing if that's what you chose to do in your life. Except drink coffee. They had permanent little hand problems from drinking coffee, and they were always wired, so they always looked funny. That was it. So this is what I'm telling you right here. That's how it got to, man. Well, here's the good news and the bad news. The CSU board caps president's pay raise. Policy set a ceiling of $325,000 for new hires, but does not limit, the bad news, does not limit foundation contributions. In other words, so let's say we're going to hire a new dude out at Poly. So we say, okay, $325,000, that's all you can make. The foundation, the Cal Poly Foundation, can say, we'll match it. They can. Well, that worked out really well. That worked out real good. Okay. Other things happen. Other things are going on. Now, we SEAL Team 6 did the job, you know, with the woman and the Danish guy left in the Somalis. Al-Qaeda still has a 70-year-old U.S. hostage in Pakistan. Experts say the aid contract will likely be used as a bargaining chip or a human shield. Now the SEAL Team 6 can help. Let you know that right there. But you may have heard that the U.S. Army is going to cut combat brigades like crazy. They're going to cut 80,000 soldiers. And this will get the bigger to 80,000. But they're happy. That's a nice fun. I'm happy for them. So I'm back to civilian life. Suffer like the rest of it. Everything's going on. This is interesting, though, because when you run for president of the United States, here's the problem that people are saying right now. First off, there's too much of this nastiness going on in these debates. I mean, we're not learning anything about the candidates. We're learning zip. They're just picking on each other, saying what a meatball there. And it's like, you know, and I said to you, I said, that's what I was worried about. And that's, everybody said to me, that's what I'm worried about. And so what we all worry about is that you have these debates where it's supposed to be a time for you to promulgate policy. And instead, it's a time to attack the other guy. And so that gets us nowhere. That accomplishes nothing. That's not a debate. That's just foolishness. Anyway, but Newt stepped out there. Newt stepped out and said he is promising to establish a permanent base on the moon by 2020 if he's elected president. He said the pronouncements appear to thrill the crowd of roughly 700 people in Florida because, of course, they are all employed by NASA. Anyway, so that's what he says we're going to do. We don't know why we're going to have a permanent base on the moon by 2012. We don't know what we're going to do with a permanent base on the moon by 2012 because actually we wanted to get to it. I'm not sure what the deal is on this, but what we want to do is get to Mars.
Hell, we've been to the moon. We want to go to Mars.
But he can change it. He can, you know, towards the end of the campaign, he can say, by 20-something, I have a colony on Mars. I'm staying right where I am. I'm not going anywhere. Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann swept aside doubts about her political future Wednesday, declaring less than a month after ending the presidential bid that she will seek a fourth term in Congress. Now, this is what's interesting. So here you are, you're a congressperson, and then you kind of stuck your neck out, and then you run for office. People have watched and listened to what you had to say and completely rejected you as a candidate, and now you're going to go rerun for the current office that you hold. I hope that, see, this is why I think actually we should have a national debate of all people that are in Congress. And we got to hear what they have to say. And then we can say, well, okay, well, we just. That's what I'm telling you. Oh, and we talked about health care. House Republican leaders are drafting a bill to replace President Barack Obama's health care overhaul as the Supreme Court strikes it down in the summer. The Republican bill would include malpractice reform, high-risk insurance pools for people with pre-existing conditions, tax breaks for individuals and small businesses, and allow people to buy cheaper coverage from insurers in another state. That's what they're looking at. Yeah. So I have to admit, that's everything that Obama tried to undo. You know, high risk insurance pools and stuff like that for existing conditions. you've attacked it well. My God. You've done the job on that right there. Other people are going on here. Now, this is interesting because they have an editorial today that I'm not going to have time to get to. That has to do with global warming and all that. And somebody's saying, that, you know, the deniers that have denied things for years. And he says, but some people aren't denying it. They're going, I need more evidence. And so he made an example of when he went to court once to be on a jury, and the judge said to the assembled masses that were going to be potential jurors, now, if I said, you know, from what you know already, from what I told you, is the person innocent, guilty, what? And most everybody said, well, I have to have more information. And then his gimmick was, I kind of like the gimmick, but, you know, fine. His gimmick was, well, that's wrong, because we have presumed the man innocent until he's found guilty. So his point was, people that say, I need more information on global warming may be not saying the right thing, you know. that the information is in and you're not paying attention. So that's what he said. Now, so here, this story was, new maps for planning reflect global warming. Says who? I don't know about your plants. My plants don't know what the heck they're doing out there. They bloom, then they shut down, then they close, they open, they're just having a hell of a time.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be to me and the car.
Thanks for being friendly right here on Talking Sheep, the Friendly Neighbors Network. We're going to get together again tomorrow. It'll be Friday at 12 o'clock. Karen will be in at 12:05. JD, I think, will be in at 1:05. And we'll find out what's going on Friday and do a big TGIF. Until then, have your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talking Sheep. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet
Play, ready bastard, play.